In church this morning, all with a great blessing to come here and worship. Before service, Brother Dick mentioned that Brother Robbie was coming down today for communion service anyway, and he didn't know about morning service, but we got our answer, Brother Dick, and thankfully he did come. Appreciate that prayer. And I do beg an interest in your prayer this morning, the time I stand before you. I watched last week, Brother Robbie mentioned his prayer about our military and those that defend our freedoms now and those that defended our freedoms in days past and gone. Like many of you, I watched some on television last week of the commemoration of the D-Day invasion, which, of course, happened on June 6, 1944. And every time I watch that, I'm deeply moved by the sacrifice of brave Americans who defended our freedoms. I was reminded of a family, Miss Alita Sullivan from Waterloo, Iowa. Had five sons. This wasn't involved in the D-Day invasion. It actually happened November 13th, 1942. They were in the USS Uno at Guadalcanal. And Brother Russ, that ship sunk. And she lost five sons that day. George, Francis, Joseph, Madison, and Albert. And none of those bodies were ever recovered. Can't imagine. When they mentioned, they didn't mention a daddy of those. I'm sure he had a daddy, but maybe he was deceased. I don't know, but one day, it doesn't matter where you're in the cemetery here or in the Pacific Ocean. When the Lord says, "Come forth," we're coming forth from those graves. Those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord should not prevent those which are asleep. And we don't need to sorrow not as others who have no hope, because the God who cannot lie promised us eternal life, and he said, "If I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." also related to that, this was directly related to the D-Day invasion on June the 6th, 1944, the little town in Virginia called Bedford, Virginia. Population 3,200. Lost 20 soldiers that day. I can't imagine the sadness in that town. It'll be Sunday this morning, though, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. This morning we'll look at, I'm going to clarify something. There are no major or minor members of Union Church. You know, sometimes in Scripture they refer to as major prophets and minor prophets. The distinction there, the way I understand it, Brother James, is this, about how the length of the book they wrote. If it takes you more than one sitting, one comfortable sitting to read the whole book, it's probably a major prophet. You can read it in one comfortable sitting, it's probably a minor prophet. Really, the minor prophet called Haggai. One of the small books of the Bible, only two chapters before you get to near the beginning of the New Testament. Haggai was the first prophet, had the voice of Israel after the Babylonian captivity. In I think it's 722 BC, maybe. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. They think it could happen to the southern kingdom, but it did. And the dates, I don't know, the dates are a little sketchy perhaps. Putting that back together, because in the book of Jeremiah in 29:10, I think Jeremiah mentioned that the Babylonian captivity lasted for 70 years. There may have been two Babylonian captivities in Scripture, perhaps. The one I'm talking about this morning relates to the time of Haggai. This prophet, his name means solemnity. And his name also means festival. And I believe when we're solemn about the Lord's kingdom, we'll feast in this life. He said he will withhold no good thing from those that diligently seek him. I'm standing in the midst of a blessed people this morning, Brother Doug. Most of you I've known for many, many years. Some of you young ones, not many years, but known you all your life. There are no strangers to me in this congregation this morning. I know the Lord has blessed you abundantly. I know the Lord has blessed Union Church. I remember talking many times about a prayer meeting here when Brother Charles Matthews had been taken captive, prisoner of war in Korea. I wish I'd have been here the night they had a prayer service to pray for his safekeeping and for his return to his family. You know, over there when they were in Babylon, I love Psalm 137 in a way. It's a very sad psalm, but it resonates with me. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." Zion is the church of the living God. They were in a country that worshipped all kind of fictitious gods. And this Bible says there is but one God. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to know what the Bible says. And I want to worship according to Scripture. Whether that means there's 50 in the building or 5 or 500, 5,000. Whatever the case may be. I do have a great desire that some who have worshipped here in days past and gone will come back to the Lord's house and be more faithful. I don't know how we'd survive without the Lord's church and the fellowship with his people on this earth. They said, yeah, we sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept when we remembered Zion. Said, we hanged our harps on the trees, on the willow trees in the midst thereof. And they that took us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? I think they had a desire to return to the church and the sweet fellowship that they enjoyed at the temple, at Solomon's temple, because Solomon's temple had been destroyed right before this, but they had a desire to worship. Not come in Union Church. There used to be a building set right over there. And if it were still over there, I imagine it wouldn't be quite as big as it looked when I was a child. We didn't have air conditioning over there. As Brother David Montgomery said, the pews were straight out of Alcatraz. Sat on those pews very long, they got very hard. But many, many times in this life, I think from a scientific fiction type mentality sometimes, I wish there was a time machine and I could go back to one of those meetings. We get homesick sometimes. That's what he told those children of Israel there in Babylon. Those that carried us, that took us away captive, required of us a song. Even heathens, I believe, like to hear the songs of Zion. And those that wasted us required of us mirth. You've heard me say before, mirth is one of those words. It sounds like a dreary word, but mirth means jubilation, happiness. We want you to sing those old church songs, and we want you to sing it with a smile on your face. Sing in the spirit of the Lord. Let us listen to you. We said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Now we get to the book of Haggai. You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that the Lord gave some, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We're thankful. As some of the men mentioned, Brother Joe, I think, mentioned, Brother Robbie, we have mentioned. I'm thankful for the opportunity I come to be here on Second Sunday. I'm thankful for Brother James Conn and his labors in the church and his faithfulness to visit our sister churches. And we need each other so badly. Brother Robbie mentioned his prayer. We live in perilous times. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. If man become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What we're doing here this morning, Brother Jamie, is not important to a lot of folks.
But it's important to the God who made us.
It's important to those in your family who are looking to you for guidance as a source of encouragement. But now they come back, and I think they come back in about 538 B.C. I love the thing still, you know, it seems like in our country there's a push to remove everything associated with God and especially His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning I ask you, who do you say He is? I'm going to be just like Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But the word B.C., the abbreviation B.C., it relates to time, means, of course, before Christ. I love in God we trust. I love the American flag. I love the symbols of freedom that indicate this is a blessing from God. One day, I didn't miss much school when I taught, but I was gone somewhere one day and had a substitute. They had a worksheet to complete, and they were doing some U.S. history things, and one of them was explain the abbreviation AD. Next day I come to class, we start reviewing that, and got to that one. I said, so what about the abbreviation AD? What does that stand for? One of the students blurted out, after death. I said, No. They said, that's what Miss So and So told us yesterday. I said, well, let's clean this up right now. I said, I'm not being critical of her. Maybe she's been misinformed. I don't know why she tell you that, but it stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. But now they come back to Israel, Judah, in 538. Been in captivity for quite some time. I think that Solomon's temple was destroyed about 587 or 589, somewhere in there. And they come back. Can you imagine being gone from your home for, say, 70 years or 49 years, whatever the case may be, and then coming back? And if you came back expecting your house to be just like you found it, you're wrong. Matter of fact, Jerusalem was in rubbles. It had been demolished. That had to be great sadness when he came back. But now Haggai writes in about 522, about 18 years. They've been back for 18 years, and let's begin reading in the book of Haggai in chapter 1, in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now they had to come back and restore their homes. I understand that. But they've been there 18 years, and they're asking, what about the temple? The time has not come. Friends, if you've been in a location for 18 years, you should already have located a church that is a welcoming place that teaches God's word and worships in spirit and in truth. 18 years, they hadn't started rebuilding the temple. You know, there's some things we need to learn from this. There's one of those commercials on TV about insurance, about health insurance or life, and I don't know what it is, but it says the three P's are price, price, and price. I think the quality of the care has got to come into play somewhere, but there are three P's somewhat related to this account in the book of Haggai. Number one, speaking of price, there's a price to be paid when we procrastinate on spiritual things. We put it off. You know, I'm in college right now and just started working, and I don't, you know, I work all week. I really want to go fishing on Sunday or play golf or, you know, whatever. I'm not Brother James, I'm not going to try to get on golfers. I heard you were golfing Friday, Brother James. But it's just Friday, though, brother. It's not Sunday. But we don't need to procrastinate on spiritual things. Matthew 6:33, I think it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Don't procrastinate on spiritual things. Another one, evaluate or review your priorities from time to time. What's important to us in life? I'm talking to Brother Mickey this morning too, not just you. What do we set our priorities on? What's important to us? You hear this morning, so I'm going to say church must be important to you. We set aside the things of this world for a little while to, we trust, set our affection upon things above. And also the other P, procrastination of spiritual things, there's a price to pay for that. Review your priorities from time to time. The third thing is the prophecy in Scripture. In many respects, is a source of encouragement and hope. I mentioned about major and minor prophets earlier. The major prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they wrote some long books. Take you a while to read through those books, especially if you try to internalize what it's telling you. But think about all of them. You know, Isaiah talked about, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Yeah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, to the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So many things in Scripture. We'll find this Haggai begin, and I love how it's broken down. But basically, four different lessons that I can consider a lot of lessons here, but four that I want to bring to your attention this morning. And they're all prefaced by a particular date, a particular day of the month. I start with number one, chapter one. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means stone in Babylon. He was born during the Babylonian captivity, so he didn't remember things about only he, what he knew about Judah and Jerusalem were the things that he had been taught, the things he'd been told about, the sweet memories that. Let's move on in Scripture. Verse 4, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I think three times, there's only two chapters in this book, of the book of Haggai, but three times it mentions consider your ways. I've watched this church. This is a very comfortable building. When you walk in the doors of Union Church, it feels like home to me, Brother Russell. It's felt that way a long, long time. I remember before the association in 2017, the membership of this church and others who love this church reached into, you know, the Bible says here about putting their money into bags with holes. What do we spend our money and time on? I can tell you what you spend a lot of your money on is the well-being of Union Church. The Lord has blessed you so abundantly. You know, and all this new ceiling up here is beautiful to me. I like what it does for acoustics. But you put a lot of work and effort into preparing for that meeting in 2017. It's one of the best meetings I've ever been in. On Saturday morning, this dear elder called the preaching committee together. This building was basically full. It was comfortably full that morning. And the only way I believe you'll ever hear better singing is when you ascend to the throne of God and you're in heaven. Brother James kind of turned around and started motioning for the pulpit, the preaching committee, to go out to the lunchroom. And I told him, I got to say, Brother James, I don't want to leave that singing this morning. You could have drawn him out of a hat this morning for all I care, but. Most of the time, what you put into something is what you get out of it. If you hadn't been to the lunchroom yet, I invite you to visit out there just a little while. It's amazing what a fresh coat of paint and a labor of love at the Lord's house. These people had built their own houses back, which I understand that, but 18 years down the road, they still hadn't built the church. It still's in rubbles, and the Lord says, I got the building materials. You go build it. And at first, really in chapter 1, you'll find the lesson is commitment. Let's commit to the things that are important in our life. He said, you need to go up into the mountain in verse 8 and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it come to little. Because of mine house that is waste, the earth is stayed from her fruit. There was a drought there. There was a spiritual famine too, if you will. And he calls Zerubbabel in verse 12. With all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Verse 13 said, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You know, back in Ezra, I'll try to turn back over there if I can remember it. I mean, I quote it exactly, but in Ezra chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, really verse 3, it starts about their adversaries coming to them. And it said there, this morning, you need to ask yourself, who are your adversaries? Who are your adversaries? Who are your enemies this morning? Individually, I don't really have that many enemies. But it seems like sometimes the whole world is against us. But it says in Ezra chapter 4, beginning about verse 4, that they have weakened the hands of the people of Judah. This world will weaken your hands. This world will discourage you. So they have weakened the hands of the people of Judah. It says they have troubled the builders. And they have hired counselors to frustrate your purpose. You think about that this morning. Sometimes I have to turn the news off, Brother Wayne, because it discourages me. And I have to turn my attention back toward God's book. You know, he said, I'm going to be with you. He said, right in the beginning of chapter 2, I'm going to be with you. But he had promised that back in the book of Exodus when they came out of Israel. He said, I will dwell with the children of Israel, and I will be their God. Is the God of the heavens this morning your God? I know he is. Which means that there will never be anything in this life that happens to you you won't be able to handle. Especially with understanding that one day it'll all be over. Our trials, we'll get to that a little bit more here in the book of Haggai in just a moment. But think about this morning, what he told Ezra there. I'm reading in the chronological Bible. I mentioned that Ezra chapter 4 and 5 goes along with Psalm 137, so it had to be talking about the same time when they were beside the rivers of Babylon, weeping because they remembered Zion. They were homesick. That it troubled the builders, and they hired counselors to frustrate their purpose. Everyone under the sound of my voice, from the youngest child here to the oldest member here at this church, has a purpose in this life. Now, we know a lot about our purpose because Brother Oscar taught us, and I mention it so often in Scripture, but it's a tradition, so to speak, that never needs to end here at Union Church. Let's hear the Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, which is the whole duty of man. All of you have a purpose. One of your purposes is to encourage those that are... Somebody mentioned this morning about Sister Glenda and Sister Eudora's family and Brother Dick's family facing so much adversity right now with death and sickness and so many problems. And you know what? I'm helpless to improve that situation for you. But I can pray to one who can. He will give you the strength to withstand the problems that you face in this life. We get into chapter 2 of the book of Haggai. The next thing we find is again, I mentioned at the beginning of chapter 1, it gives a specific date and day of the month. In the second year, in the first day of the month.
in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. Then we get to chapter 2. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel. Look in verse 3. And to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do we see it now? There's a lot of you who remember almost nothing about the old building over there next door. You don't remember that. But what I trust and I believe in my heart this morning is the same message that's preached from this pulpit was preached over there. The same encouragement, the same love, the same fellowship that was taught over there. And witness over there, it's witness over here. Who is there among you that saw the house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? You ask me which building was better? This one. This one. But it was just as sweet over there as it is here. A lot of those saints buried down here and other cemeteries around this area that we're so faithful to that church over there. To that I give God the glory.
Wow.
He said, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I covenanted with you, in verse 5, with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Skip down a little bit further into verse 7. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. In verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace. I just studied a little bit about this, and I encourage you to dig deep into the scriptures. Let's don't read it just at surface value, but try to dig deeper into this. And now, how is he telling them that once you rebuild the house, these adversaries are trying to frustrate their purpose and to weaken their hands and to trouble the builders. How is this house going to be better? The temple they build it now going to be better than the one that they had at what was called Solomon's temple? How's it going to be better? Because in a little while, about 500 years, the Messiah was going to appear on earth and he was going to worship at that temple. Isn't that comforting to think about? But you know, when he went down that Mount of Olives near the end of his life, he wept over the city of Jerusalem because he knew there was a day coming, about 70 AD, when this temple would be destroyed again. Friends, they can tear down this building. I pray the Lord preserves it from storm damage or from outside forces of evil. You know, some areas of the country there's church burnings. And I was having a marriage ceremony here not too long ago, and there was a man here from Chicago, Illinois, that said in the community where he lived, they couldn't have church for the forces of evil in this world, destroying and vandalizing and destroying the building. He said that in the latter days, I mean in a little while, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We've seen commitment first. You've got to commit to this thing. Then we saw courage. Courage to keep house for the Lord in such a way to be a refuge for our families and those that we love to come out from the vain and perishable things of this life. And where does our courage come from? From the beautiful assurance that God will be with us. He said, when I brought you out of Egypt, I covenanted with you. I will bring you out. I will dwell with the children of Israel, and I will be their God. You're in a blessed condition this morning if the God of the heavens is your God. The third thing, go to verse 10 of chapter 2. You'll find the next two happened on the same day. It's kind of interesting to me. The first one was in the sixth month, the first day. The second one I've talked to you about was in the seventh month on the 21st day. And now this one is in the ninth month on the 24th day.
Again, the word of the Lord comes to Haggai the prophet saying, he begins to talk about some things related to the old law regarding meat that was consecrated for a sacrifice, and if it touched other things, or if it touched a dead body, would it be unclean? You know, in I don't know exactly where that verse is. Maybe come back to me in just a moment, but there is uncleanness in this world. It's so very easy. You know, I enjoy eating steak from time to time, and one of the biggest things for steak is bahia grass. I am highly, highly, highly allergic to bahia grass. I'll try to help you any way I possibly can unless you need me to haul hay. And I tried when I was a kid because, Brother Jewel, some of my friends made a little spending money doing that, and I couldn't do it. I have some bahia grass in my yard at home, and I promise you I have never planted a bahia grass seed in my yard intentionally. Not one time. You get a little sun and rain, and you can almost watch it grow. Go out and measure it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and go measure it at 8 o'clock at night. It's changed. It's tough on equipment. But that's what it is in this world. We can be engulfed by sin. We say we just go a little bit into it. No, you put one bad apple in the barrel, the bad apple's not going to become good. And there are counselors in this world who will frustrate your purpose. We need to be careful in this life. I know one place in 1 Corinthians, the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, the Bible tells us, verse 15, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, and continue to read with me. Here we have as we go to verse 20 of Haggai chapter 2. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month, saying, this is the same day it came to him about the sin. We need to lay aside every weight which doth beset us, and every sin that takes us away from the things of God, and run with patience the race that's been set before us, ever looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Now on the same day, we had a word came to Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. You know, you go back into your world history lessons. During this era, there were a lot of people trying to conquest, to take over the world. Alexander the Great. All those of you who were studying about it at school, but this is the eternal king. I mentioned it in Psalm 48 and 2 when Brother Kerry Latham was here at our meeting back the fifth weekend in March. He mentioned Psalm 48 and 2, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. And I don't think he finished that verse, but because that wasn't what he was talking about that day, but it's so important. It says the city of the great king. This is a king that we're talking about, the king that will rule triumphant. In verse 23, it says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. You go over to the book of Matthew in chapter 1, you'll find where, by the lineage of Jesus Christ, you'll find, it says there that there was 14 generations from Abraham to David. There were 14 generations from David to the carrying away into Babylon. And there were 14 generations from the carrying away into Babylon to the birth of Jesus Christ. 42 generations. That's why the Lord said back there, he said, in a little while, I will make this temple greater than the previous one. The latter temple should be greater than the first. But until it was Zerubbabel, I will make this a signet. It's amazing how Zerubbabel was born in Babylon when they were in captivity there. He'd never been an Israelite by birth, per se. At least he was born in Babylon. But yet, that's who the Lord chose as the governor to lead them back to prosperity by rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. He said, I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee. A signet is a seal. In Luke chapter 15, we've talked about this many times. You've heard this preached over and over and over again about what we call the prodigal son. This daddy had trouble with both sons. The one that stayed with him that was jealous of the royal treatment that his brother, who had wasted his substance on righteous living, got when he returned back to his home. Because I don't have to acquaint you all with the retell the story because you know it well that he was down there feeding pigs. Being a Jewish boy, he couldn't eat the pork, but he was feeding pigs, and a terrible job. He began to get homesick too, didn't he? He decided, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna go to my father, and I'm gonna ask him if he'd make me one of his hired servants. The Bible says when the father saw him a long way off, and I've mentioned this many times, and I'll probably continue to mention it. There is no telling how many times the father looked across that field to see, is my boy coming home yet? Just like that mother who got the call that all five of her sons had been killed in World War II. I can't imagine the heartache she must have felt. This man suffered heartache because his son was gone astray. But when he came home, the Bible says that the daddy saw him yet while he was yet a great way off. The father ran to meet him, fell upon his neck and kissed him. And I'm sure said, welcome home, son. I've been worried about you. Sometimes when we procrastinate on spiritual things, there's a price to be paid. One thing he said, you put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet. I've heard ministers say before he probably came home barefooted, and put a ring on his finger. I've studied that some. I believe that ring had a signet, something related to that family. That's what I was telling Zerubbabel. That's what the prodigal father, so to speak, is telling his son. Son, you're one of mine. And he said, kill the fatted calf. I've researched that some. That fatted calf means the richness, that the best we have to offer. What did Scripture tell us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Though he were rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That through your poverty, through his poverty, you may become rich. Friends, we have the fatted calf. The fatted calf is available for us if we continue, just keep on keeping on. Have the commitment. Understand the courage comes from Jesus Christ. He said he would withhold no good thing from those that diligently seek him. The answer to our problems is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't let the world frustrate your purpose. Keep your eyes focused on him. Don't procrastinate on spiritual things. You say, well, you know, I have never read this book in its entirety. Never done that. I advise you to start this afternoon. Start today. We err if we don't know the scriptures. It's what the Bible teaches us. I trust this has been of some benefit to you. If it is, you give God all praise, honor, and glory, for it's due him. And continue to strive for that doctrine that was once delivered to the saints, continue to teach it, to preach it, to live it. And Brother Joe, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Jesus Christ said, no man knoweth the hour, not even the angels in heaven. But I know he's coming back. And wouldn't it be comforting to know that if it's 100 years from now, maybe not at this building, I don't know, but the building on this hill, that some of our descendants were still enjoying the fatted calf and the richness that God has for those that love him. And we know we love him because he first loved us. May you continue to strive for the faith. And we love you so much here at Union Church. May God bless you. It's our prayer this morning.